Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're live out here at Vanderbilt Legends Club for a great cause. Brent Peterson doing great work raising money to help the fight for Parkinson's disease. And this is a huge hit, this golf scramble. A morning session and an afternoon session. Sold out. And we're happy to be out here. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe alongside Willie D is out on the course. He will be here for the second half of the show, and then I'll take my sticks and hit them probably right and say four a couple times in the afternoon session. Let's bring in our man, Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Talking with TD is his podcast, and TD is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company. Online at FreedomTireGuys.com, Crane Works, and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. Well, Teron, don't think this is the spot everybody thought, or what will we be talking about? Did I think they could lose? Yeah, I did. I think Arizona's a really good team. Did I think it was going to be in the fashion that it played out? No, there's no way I could have been convinced. Say that three times really fast, that they were just never going to be in the game, and that was the case.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case, man. They were just out-physicaled, and they were out-tightened, to be honest with you, because they build themselves on having that repertoire of physical football, physicality, you know, being violent, and that's exactly what happened to them. So it was an unfortunate game, and it just, like, from that second series, things just snowballed and it never got on track.
Well, where do you want to start with this, Teron? There's a lot of layers. This is like a blooming onion. Maybe this segment should be sponsored by Outback, because there's a lot of layers to peel back. Let's start with the offensive line. Boy, you always hear coaches, and you understand, you know, you played the game. Sometimes games are dictated by the wars in the trenches, and clearly the Titans did not win the war in the trenches.
Yeah, they're pretty much always dictated by that. And it just, right from the start, if you go back and watch the game, that first snap, right, you'll see Chandler Jones just violently move Taylor Lewan out of the way and tackle Derrick Henry for a three-yard loss. And it just, right from the jump, it was established that zero games were going to be played up front. And then the next series, what happens? J.J. Watt, swim move on Quisenberry, runs literally through Jeff Swaim, and he tackles Henry for a loss of a yard. Next play, unblocked, Chandler Jones blows up Ryan Tannehill, and naturally Tannehill gave the ball up. I mean, I don't know too many folks that would be able to withstand that type of hit and not give it up, and look what happened. So, yeah, it was just all throughout the game. They just couldn't get anything going. They were consistently in the Titans' backfield and just resetting the line of scrimmage in their backfield. And that's something that you're not going to win that way. And the offense was just able to feed off of that, to be honest with you. And we could get into the defensive issues in a moment. But it just really, it was a poor showing. And this is something, you know, going against that front, we asked Coach Vrabel about that and some of the other guys about that. Just, you know, seeing Marcus Golden and seeing J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, that's nothing to be played with.
No, it's not. And I guess let's go there with the third, with the defense. You know, third down woes again, just the inability to get off the field, unfortunately, has rolled over to the start of this season and plagued them again on Sunday.
Yeah, it really did, honestly. I mean, you look at it, they ended up, I think it was around 53% conversions allowed on third downs, which obviously is not acceptable. And it's right in line with where they were last year, which was a 30-year high at 51%. And that's not a high for the Titans/Oilers organization. It's for the league, period. So that was clearly an issue and something that they have to get fixed.
And the Titans weren't able to get to the quarterback. They did get two sacks, but overall, just not enough pressure. And I know Kyler Murray is extremely difficult. I would say, in my opinion, Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson are probably the two best with their legs, although there's a lot of mobile quarterbacks now in the NFL. Those two may be the toughest to get to. But with that being said, I don't know if you think that's a good start or if it's not. I just kind of felt like, again, just not enough pressure to the quarterback. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you mentioned Lamar Jackson. He is definitely somebody, but don't forget about the guy who was doing it before both of them, and that's Russell Wilson, who they're going to face next week, so it doesn't get any easier. But, yeah, you're right. Kyler Murray and what he was able to do, that only made things even tougher. And when you look at that one third down, I believe it was like 3rd and 10, and there was an opportunity to, make something happen, right, and get a stop. They couldn't get it because Kyler Murray eluded all of Nashville and found a way to get the ball down the field to Rondale Moore for an 18-yard gain. So that's an example of just how he could go off schedule and how he could just make things happen. And this is something that they practice, right? You don't realize like the things that go into getting those type of plays to happen the way they do. It's not literally just guys running around. Everyone has assignments and things like that. This is something that Arizona worked on during our training camp, and it showed.
It's easy, and this is what happens. I think it's kind of a no-win for a coach because if you're like John Harbaugh with the Ravens, you did play some starters, and they got hurt in preseason games, and then you get crucified for it. And then, he has to answer those questions. Vice versa, on the other side, if you choose not to really get any work from your starters and preseason, then you come out and lay an egg in week one, then you get questioned on why there wasn't any work in preseason. Like I said, I know it's a no-win for a coach, but do you think there is any validity to, basically none of the starters playing in preseason for the most part?
Yeah, I think there's some validity to it, but you also have to look at the offensive line. A lot of those guys did actually play, and it just ended up that was one of the key parts where they had a letdown yesterday. So there's give and take with it. I believe that when you're a team like the Titans, me personally, I would have played more of the starters just because they notoriously start off slow. And the best way to avoid that, in my opinion, would be to not have Russ to knock off. So unfortunately, because of different things, whether it's being having guys on the reserve COVID, veteran days off, in addition to just Taylor Lewan working his way back from injury, they weren't able to get everybody out there, and it showed along the offensive line. Obviously, the Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill situation was impacted, but I think that was more not having the offensive line in sync than anything else.
We knew that one of the big question marks was going to be, okay, what does it look like, post Arthur Smith? Arthur Smith is now in Atlanta as their head coach, and yeah, they certainly had their offensive struggles yesterday as well. But, there was a lot of pressure on Todd Downing to keep this offense rolling along. We know that, 13 points, especially in today's game and with the Titans' defense, is just not going to be good enough to win games week in and week out. Overall, what do you make of the lack of production on offense?
Well, again, it goes back to the offensive line, but also I think the play calling, right, it got a little predictable running Derrick Henry on first downs, and this is something that we actually saw under Coach Arthur Smith as well. But I think you also have to look at, okay, what happened to just like a timely screen pass? When you got your guys just getting mauled up front, help them out, right? Call a screen pass, attack the boundary a little bit more, spread it out some. There were times where they had 13 personnel, 12 personnel. You're condensing everything. Your guys are getting beat up front even when you're trying to run the football, right? So spread it out. Attack the perimeter. Give your guys like Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, opportunities to catch the ball quickly and make something happen. That's what you have playmakers like that for. So that's something that I think they probably could have done. Now, look, man, I'm no offensive coordinator or anything like that. I'm just kind of saying what I saw and what I wondered why they weren't doing. But in my opinion, when you're getting dominated like that up front, you got to help them out, and those are some ways that you could do it.
Teron Davenport is with us, Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN. And going back to the, I guess, being out of sync and chemistry thing, and you're there every day. To me, it's more practice than it would be preseason games. How much, are these guys on the practice field together when you can really break stuff down and talk stuff out? I mean, is that something that you think that they could have done a little bit more of with some of these guys throughout training camp?
You know, honestly, they were there on the practice field. At least the offensive line was. They were there on the practice field working things out a lot. Honestly, because, I mean, Taylor Lewan, even though he wasn't going through, like full contact and those type of things in camp, they still went through walkthroughs, and they did stopping on contact for him. So there was an opportunity to do that. And it's just kind of interesting, the two dynamics that we have working with this team, because the defensive players, they played a lot, right?
Yeah.
Outside of, they played outside of Danico Autry. They played a lot, but 38 points allowed, that definitely wasn't a good showing. So, you know, you could look at it both ways, but I think end of the day, man, bottom line, and it sounds cliche, but as a professional, you have to go out there and do better, and that's going to be their goal going forward. You can't really use that excuse of not playing together in the preseason as a reason why you had such a bad performance.
So were you surprised? You know how vocal that Taylor Lewan is, and he's always accessible. Were you surprised that he didn't talk at all yesterday?
As far as after the game?
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised, just because you never – I mean, with this whole situation, the way everything is being rehandled, you just don't know who's going to be available. So I wasn't surprised at all. He did say something on Twitter about, you know, what Chandler Jones was able to do. But, again, end of the day, he just got to play better. I think that's really what it boils down to. He could get on here and say everything possible, but, I mean, at the end of the day, that performance was subpar, and I get it. He's working his way back from injury, so you have to consider that. But he is, you know, looked upon as one of the best offensive linemen on the team, so you do have to live up to that.
When you factor in everything we've already talked about, you know, offensive line issues and new coordinator and all that stuff, how would you evaluate Ryan Tannehill overall yesterday as he was right there with everybody else and having a bad day?
I don't think you can evaluate him, honestly. I mean, he got hit, I think it was 9 times. He got sacked 6 times. You know, he was constantly under pressure. And it's really tough to get a true evaluation of him. He tried to get the ball into their hands, you know, when he had opportunities to throw the football. He had a couple nice throws to A.J. Brown, a good one to Julio Jones. He connected with Firkser. He ran one in for a touchdown. So, I mean, I think this loss, it's on the whole team, but I couldn't put the bulk of it on Ryan Tannehill or even get a true look at what he brings to the table this year, because he was under constant duress.
Darren and I were talking about rookies earlier, and we know Caleb Farley's situation, and that's going to be a work in progress, but Weaver was inactive. Radance, you know, is not there yet, obviously. Elijah Molden was really the one that you saw the most of yesterday.
Yeah.
And again, I asked this, how would you evaluate when you look at the entire team, but for his first real NFL game, how would you look at him?
Not good. I mean, that's really the only way you can look at it, and that's just being objective. And you guys know I'm really big on Elijah Molden, but I'm going to call a spade a spade. Right? He got beat in coverage on by Christian Kirk. He came up and tried to make a tackle in the backfield and had a guy run through it. So those are opportunities that you have to come through with, and this is something that he kind of trademarked, right, at Washington and in the preseason this year. So definitely not an acceptable performance from Elijah Molden. The good thing is he has an opportunity to get better.
Teron, can you kick?
I got to go to the store and get some steel-toe boots, and I'll kick.
Okay, because they may ask you to. They may ask you to when you get over there here in a little bit after yesterday. I mean, I know it was kind of a weird circumstance. Ficken gets hurt. He's now on IR. They put Badgley in there to kick yesterday. Doesn't look good at all. So here we go again talking about kickers and the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, it's just more of the same old nonsense that this team has gone through over the last couple of years, and it's unfortunate, but I mean, they're going to have to keep sorting through the muck and try to find somebody.
You're going to be at the press conference and talking to Mike Vrabel here in about 40 minutes or so. And we've heard the got to coach better, got to play better. But this feels different. This after yesterday, it feels like that's not going to fly. But we know his personality. What do you truly expect now that he's had time to watch the film, maybe break some stuff down, see some, you know, really key in on some things? What do you really expect him to say?
Yeah, I expect him to be frustrated. And I want to just talk about what went on in the trenches and just how they could avoid that from happening again. Because when you're losing one-on-one matchups the way that they were, and also struggling with stunts and twists the way that they were, it's not going to get any easier next week. You know, you got Jamal Adams playing like an outside linebacker and them using him in so many ways. So Seattle's going to present just as big of a struggle. Obviously, Chandler Jones is one of the best, but I think, you know, he needs to speak about some of these one-on-one matchups that they lost, and that's what I'm going to ask him about.
All right, well, we will be looking forward to listening to it. TD, thanks as always. We'll do it again next Monday, but you got Talking with TD, breaking this one down on Wednesdays, the Power Hour, on Thursdays at 3 with the afternoon show, and then Fridays at 8. We'll talk to you next Monday.
That's right. Talk to you guys next Monday. Appreciate it.
He is Teron Davenport, and he joins us every Monday at 11, brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys and Crane Works, as well as, again, Mike Vrabel coming up at noon. You will hear that right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Vince Ferrara going to join us tomorrow at noon as we break down the Titans. We welcome your calls and text, 615-737-1025. But as we go to the break, Darren, you're going to tell us about DraftKings.
I am, Chase. Thank you. Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. And to kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. All you have to do is just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet at least $1 on any football game. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that promo code 1025GAME to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That promo code, again, 1025GAME, to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. An official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.